amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. We're talking on the life of faith, the life of faith. And I don't think there could be any other person that we could study in the Bible that could give us as much insight on faith as we can study the life of Abraham, because he obviously was a father, the father of the faithful. He was a father of faith. So as we look at this, there is something that I want to share with you first, and it was just put on my heart as I was reading that scripture. There are two distinct worlds, and one is the world of the natural, and the other one is the world of the spirit. These are two distinct worlds. And this world of the natural is controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. Another way of saying that is that the visible world is controlled by the invisible or supernatural world. Now, the invisible or supernatural world is divided into two parts. And part of that is this part where you have the living God and angels and things of the eternal. And the other one is the dark side of that invisible world, which is Satan. And Satan and fallen angels and death and darkness. Now, because of Adam's transgression, Adam now had fallen from a place of being connected to God and being able to flow in both realms, the visible and the invisible, to now being a child of the devil. In other words, having the same nature as Satan. And this nature came in him when he was born again. Adam was born from life to death. Now, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He came preaching that which is in the garden before the fall, and that this kingdom would come, and that Jesus himself was coming from God, and he was the one that was reflecting God's nature. So as he came in, he now was going to provide the seed by which every person could be born. Let's go over here, if you will, to 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter, that's just a couple of doors over, a couple of pages, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you look at verse 3, it said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what? Word of God. I'll read it again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what? Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Jesus had to come to the earth, and he came as the Gospels calls him, the only begotten Son of God. All right? Now, once he came, and as he came to the earth, turn to John, and John's Gospel, if you will, chapter 12. John chapter 12, not a lot of things happen between, you know, him coming and him being planted in the earth. But look what it says here, verse 23. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. Verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and what? Die, it abideth how? Alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. All right, here again, we're talking about that staggering return. So here is Jesus. Now he is speaking here and he's teaching, but is he not speaking prophetically about himself? Yes, he is. He's talking about himself. Now notice what he had to do. He had to come as a seed, and that seed was to be planted in the earth. Now God named the seed. He let all this is legal that God is doing, by the way. And because God had to legally get you back. Amen. He couldn't illegally get you back. It had to be legal. So he had to send his son in the earth as a man. If his son functioned as God, it would be illegal. Got it? So we know he was fully God, but he was also, come on, fully man. So he calls himself here the Son of Man. Now, when he got baptized, he was raised up out of the water, and the heavens opened, and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved who?
Son.
Got it? He was his seed. This is my seed. If I have a son, he's my seed. I mean, a daughter, it's my seed. So this is my beloved son. This is my seed. So he had to name the seed son. Because the seed's got to be planted now. And I told you many times, you can name your seed. That as you plant seed, you can plant seed sometimes for a job. You can name the seed job. Okay, all right. Well, come on now. All right. So he planted, he was speaking about himself prophetically. He said, now I'm going to have to die. But he said many places in the Gospels that I'll be dead 3 days. Maybe somebody can find one of those places for me. He said, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. And what he had to do was he died for us, that when he came up, he brought forth much fruit. You got what I'm saying? So because he lives, we can live now. So anybody who believes in him, see, shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. So you get what he got. You got what I'm saying? So now breaking the power of death over our lives and bringing us back to eternal life. Does that make sense to you? All right. Now, so this whole idea of eternal life means that the same thing that is in God is now again in you. All right, now let's look at that. Turn to John chapter 1, please. Say amen. Verse 1, in the beginning was the what?
Word.
The Word was with God, and the Word was who? God. Okay? Now, if you look, hold something right there, please, and look, this is Bible study. I'm teaching now. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, please. In Luke chapter 8, and if you look at Luke chapter 8, look at verse 11. Jesus is still teaching now. You got it? And look at verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the what? Word of God. All right? So notice Jesus was the seed, but he was also what? The Word of God. And if you go to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, keep going. And the Word was with God, keep going. And the Word was God. Now, verse 3, all things were made by who? Him. Him who? God. God who? The Word. Got it? Everything that was made by the Word. God was the originator, the Word was the maker of things, and the Holy Spirit was a manifester. All right, look what it says in verse 14. And the Word was what? Made flesh, keep going, and dwelt among us, okay? So God wrapped himself in flesh and sent it to the earth. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? Wrapped himself in flesh and sent it to the earth. Now, as we look at this, he said, now whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So we believe on him. Didn't we believe on him? All right. And as we believe on him, by grace are we what? Saved. Keep going. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. All right. So we got saved, saved from eternal death and now into eternal life. And Jesus said over in John chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, as he is, so are you in this world. Now, let's go to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. Are y'all with me so far? Look what Jesus says now, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father, keep going, are one. All right? Now, notice what happened next. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Notice when he linked himself with the Father, the devil tries to instigate religious leaders to stone him. And notice this idea of your identity, you getting to understand who you are, is the most threatening thing to the kingdom of darkness, I believe, that is in this Bible. I personally believe that. Now, Christianity links you with God. That's what it does. It links you with God. It puts you in union with God. Christianity. See, Christianity is the only faith, if I could use that word. You might have to turn the air on just a little bit more here. I'm Shonda. Okay. Christianity links us with God. Now, when I say that, I mean it's the only faith that the one who is worshiped is inside of the worshiper. Got it? Everything else is outside. Buddha is outside. Confucius outside. Hare Krishna is outside. But this is the only one. Now, what has to happen is we have to get and accept the fact that we are linked with God, and this eternal life gives us access to spiritual blessings the moment we receive Christ. The moment we receive him, we get everything that he has ever laid up for us. Lord, have mercy. Turn to Luke chapter 15 now. I'm bringing you in through Revelation. Luke chapter 15. You remember the story of the prodigal son. Am I right about that? All right. Now, you notice what happened. The prodigal son strayed away from dad, went to a far country, went to a place of darkness, and he hooked on with those people. A mighty famine came. Nobody gave to him to eat. He got a job feeding hogs, living much beneath his privileges now. And then he came to himself. He said, hey, I'm going home to be a servant in my dad's house. The servants have more than enough to spare. I'm going home. I'm going to tell dad I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Notice that's a type of repentance. So what does he do? He does that. Goes, because father sees him coming a long ways off. He hugged him and kissed him. And the son said to him, verse 21, Father, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, what? Bring forth, keep going, the best robe and do what to it? Put it on him and come on, put a ring on his hand, keep going, and shoes on his feet. Now, how soon after the son came home back to the father did the father do this for the son? Immediately. You don't have to wait to get healed. You don't have to wait to get that new home. You don't have, now I'm just talking to you now. Now you can take this if you want to or whatever, but you don't have to wait to get victory. Victory is yours right now. You don't have to beg God for it. He's already given it to you. Say amen to this. And then bring the fatted calf, so forth and so on. Verse 25. Now his eldest son was in the field and came and drew nigh into the house and heard music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And they said to him, thy brother's come, that the father has killed the fatted calf because he had received him, how? Safe and sound. Now he was angry. Notice he was angry because another brother got blessed. He was, and Lord have mercy. Somehow we come back around to that same thing. Now, I'm saying this right now. I got to stop at this for just a moment. You need to stop hating. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody up in here and it's somebody by this television set. You need to stop your hating because it's just blocking you from your eternal life. It's blocking you from your blessing. See, you've got blessings coming, but as long as you hate, that's not the nature of God. God, the part of you that helps to draw the blessing is the nature of God. The love is part of his nature. You got to stay in love. I was talking to somebody today and they said, hey, Pastor, I don't want to get in it because I'm believing God for something right now. I said, I know what you're talking about. So I'm saying it's no need in hating. You know, there's no future in hating people. Why would I hate somebody? If I'm born again, why would I hate somebody? You don't have to hate anybody, see? Now, if you're hating, you're overriding your nature. In other words, your nature is to love. Why? Because you got God's nature in you now. But if you override that nature, you can hate. And you're letting your old flesh dominate your life. So don't do that because God has some blessing for you. He's trying to get to you. Say amen to that. Listen, if they did something against you, I'm preaching on vengeance and recompense. Listen, I'm telling you now, you're going to see as you keep hearing this, faith is going to come. And faith comes, when faith comes, folks, you know, who believe this, their enemies won't be able to come against them like that anymore. And listen now, it's the favor of God. Okay, all right, but anyway. So verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, he came to his father out and entreated him. He said, come on in, son. And he answering said to his father, all these many years I've served you, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet you've never given me a kid that I may make merry with my friend. But as soon as this Thy son it was come, which has devoured the living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him a fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, I want you to see this. Now, the elder brother was at the house, but did he have a right to the blessings? All right. Now let's go over to Revelation chapter 12, please. Revelation chapter 12. I know you would know where Revelation is. Chapter 12. Let me know when you get to it. You with me? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. Now, stop. Look at me just a minute. If Satan, the Bible says, not William Winston, the Bible says, he deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. The only way for you to avoid deception is through revelation. The Holy Spirit has to be working with you to reveal this thing to you. Other than that, you can't catch Satan. If somebody is a magician, and I'm not advocating that, but somebody stands up and starts pulling rabbits out of a hat or whatever, I dare you to catch them. You try to figure it out. You see, there's nothing in this hat, but how did he pull that? You can't figure it out. Satan is more subtle than that. He is more on the dark side than anything you've ever seen. Anything you've ever seen. See, that's why God has to teach you how to walk by faith. Because faith sees the word of God in your future. See, faith causes you to leave your five senses. Leave your five senses. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, hey, I said, you've just been used by the devil. I said, now, I hate to tell you that. But I said, you can tell you have because you've gotten emotional. I said, do you realize there is no emotion beyond this here? The emotion beyond your senses. Once you cross the barrier of the senses, the boundary of the senses, the emotion is joy. You cannot cross this boundary and say, I'm mad at you. I'm here. You can't do that because it doesn't exist beyond that. I said, you became emotional and the devil used you and cut you off again. And I said, I don't believe this is the first time this has happened to you. Now I'm prophesying on him right now. Working you, putting a ring in your nostrils and leading you all around town. That's the devil. Why? Because he's a master deceiver. Master at it. He can make you think you're hurting when you ain't even hurting. He can make you think you're losing when you're winning. Come on now. I mean, I was playing tennis the other day, and I said, I am going to stop putting it on everything and everybody. You know, at first, you know, I'm losing, and I put it on the guy. Well, he's not hitting a good ball. He's just lobbing the ball. And I mean, I don't like to play nobody like that. Well, William, why didn't you beat him? Well, I don't like to play anybody. Okay, I'm putting it on the guy. Then next, it was the balls. Well, these balls. Now, understand, I've got bunches of balls. But, you know, some of these balls, they're not bouncing right. Now, they just came out of the can. They're not bouncing right. Now I'm restringing my racket. Boy, these strings they put in there, man, these strings. And pretty soon the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, why don't you stop making all those excuses? He said, when you stop making those excuses, I can help you improve your game. I said, I know that's right. And I decided I'm not making another excuse. Now, you got to stay there because here I was the other day. I was hitting it, and then I started losing again. I said, what are these balls? I said, no. These are good balls. Amen. Praise the Lord. She had to take it by faith. I had to stay out of the senses. Because the moment I dip back in there, their senses are going, now Satan can regulate me because he's master over that realm. Does this make sense to you? Let's go to somewhere. Let's show you that. Go with me to John chapter 5. Are you following what I'm saying? Now think about this. Jesus walks looking for some fruit. It's in the morning. He's going to eat some fruit for breakfast. And there was none. Now it looked good from afar off, like some folk you know. But when you get close to them, I'm not talking about people. I hate no people. I'm just telling you, that's the way it looks. You know, people got a lot of glitter, man. And so now, he goes up close, but and examines it. There is no fruit, but there should be fruit. So what does he do now? He said, no man will eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And the disciples heard him. Now notice, he's walking like Adam. He's having a normal existence, not abnormal. Speaking to a tree was normal. Now you got to get this, because it's abnormal not to speak to it. You got what I'm saying? I'm saying we pretty much have seen an abnormal life out here. But when Jesus came, he came to bring the normal life back again. Say amen. Now he spoke to it. Now understand, invisible things dominate visible things. That which is physical is controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit. But here's the good news. So are yours. So are yours. But he said, this is the key to my words. I believe what I say is going to come to pass. He said, you release them, but you don't believe it. Got it? He said, I'm not going to go and get me a Minimac chainsaw and cut that tree down. I'm not going to ask you to bring me an axe and cut it down. I'm going to show you how I can take it out with nothing but words. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you how you can govern this whole earth with nothing but words.
Yes, sir.
That in the last days, because of sin in the earth, then the earth is groaning. You're going to see more tornadoes, more earthquakes and so forth. But the people of God are going to be stationed all over the earth and be able to hold back things. Come on, be able to speak to things, rescue people, so forth as well. That's what I'm teaching on Sunday, manifesting the sons of God. So now here's the tree. They come back the next morning by the tree, and one of the disciples said, Master, the tree that you cursed yesterday is withered away. Now, here's what I know. I know that when you speak to things and you do things by the Spirit, you better keep track of it, because if you don't and you come down out of the Spirit and come back by that same thing, you won't hardly notice that something happened to that. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit has to almost quicken you as the fact that you spoke to that yesterday. That's why that's like that. Are you with me here? See? And so now they said the tree you withered away. Jesus said, well, wait a minute now, have faith in God. In other words, have the what? God kind of faith. Well, what's God kind of faith? All the way back to the Genesis, and God is a faith God, and he said what? Let there be light. And light was. He believed what he said going to come to pass. He made you exactly the same way. Now you take and govern this earth with the same anointing, with the same power, with everything that he's got. He put it on you. Now go take your authority and make it work. Say amen to that. So you can govern everything. And folk, when the enemy tries to tell us you can't govern, don't you even listen at him. He's trying, the Bible, let's go over to, John 5, hold something right there. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5, please. Are you with me? I want you to see this, Romans chapter 5.
Yes, sir.
And then after Romans chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want to show you that. Amen. All right?
Amen.
I got a short time now, but just stay with me. I'm teaching. I said, I'm teaching here. Romans, where did I tell you first? Romans chapter 5. All right? All right, look at Romans chapter 5. Look what it says here. Did I say Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. Now, I want you to read all of this, but I'll start at the beginning. I better start at the beginning. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in where? Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? But after the what? Spirit. So the Spirit is what God wants you to walk after rather than your what? Flesh. Why? Because the flesh profiteth nothing. It strictly tries to be ruled by the environment. Okay? That flesh. Now watch what it says. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law, causes a law of sin and death. And what law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of what? Sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the what? Flesh. In your Bible, put senses. But after the Spirit. For they that are after the what? Flesh or senses, do mind the things of the what? Flesh or senses. But they that are after the what? Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be what? Carnally minded, mindful of your flesh, is what? Death. But to be what? Spiritually minded is who? Life and peace. Carnally minded, minded of the flesh, carnally. Remember what we had? A natural man, one not born again, a carnal person, one who's born again but still led by the senses, and a spiritual person, one who has overcome the leading of the flesh and so forth and so on. Now, the carnal person is mindful of the flesh. That's what they're mindful of. Now, let's look at that. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as what? Spiritual. Keep going. But as unto who? Carnal, even as to who? Babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet what? Carnal. Watch this. For whereas there is among you, come on, envy, keep going, and strife, keep going, and divisions. Give me another word for divisions. Racism. Racism is rooted in division. A spirit of division is the thing. See, it tries to pit one against the other. Envy, putting down somebody. My point to you is, watch this. When they came and told me, said, Pastor, I'm telling you now, they don't want a black man to move into that mall. I said, who are you talking to? Now watch what I just preached. See, I'm more mindful of my spirit. See, I've got to be more mindful of my spirit if I plan to walk on water. If I plan to speak to a tree and it obey me, I cannot be more mindful of my flesh, because it doesn't bring me anything. It has no power in it, and it cannot rule the physical world. I got to be more mindful of the man that's inside of this flesh than I am of the man that's outside of it. Paul said, there's no longer Jew or Greek or bond or free. He said, you are all one in Christ. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. And when the church gets beyond who, what you look like, what, and sees into that spirit and sees that you are the image of the living God, yes, say amen to that, yes, then something happens. I'm not saying we don't have backgrounds and we don't have history and so forth like that. But when it comes to ruling this earth, when it comes to fulfilling the commission of God, I've got to be more spiritually minded than I am naturally minded. I've got to know who I am. And who I am is a seed of Abraham. Who I am is a child of the King. Who I am is one that is no longer condemned by this world. Who I am, I don't even have a past. Who I am, see, I work all that in my system. And if you listen at Jesus, he constantly confessed who he was. He said, I am the good shepherd. Come on now. I am the bread of life. Come on now. I am the wheel in the middle of a wheel. You got to start saying who you are in God. So you'll work yourself into more of a spiritual reality than this natural one. And when you do, disease won't stick on you. When you do, because you take ownership over this flesh. Paul doesn't even call it your flesh in one place. He calls it your house. You don't want no roaches in your house. You get some disease on your body, you say, get off of here. What do you think you're doing? This is my house. Say amen to that. And sometimes when women put a little makeup on, you just painting houses. You just... Amen. Sometimes we need a little paint on that house. Now, I'm not saying we don't have history. I'm not saying we don't come from different racial backgrounds and so forth. But when we all meet together, we got to understand that you got to keep your affections have to be for things above. You've got to be more spiritually minded than you are natural minded, because what you're going to be up against is a devil, and you cannot fix the devil and stop him with your flesh. There is no way you can stop him. That's why the world has no hope without the church, because the world is only locked in the flesh. They can only go as far as the mental, and the mental can't defeat Satan. He got mental. He'll defeat you before you wake up in the morning. And you can't stop him, because the mental can't tell the difference between God's voice and the devil's. Only the spirit can bear witness. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I'm saying, folks, we headed for something now. But I'm saying this now. Follow what I'm saying. Y'all follow what I'm saying. I'm saying now we got to start being spiritually minded. Because it's life and it's peace and it's victory and it's overcoming and it's and so forth. And when you speak the things, they will obey you. Say amen to that. Now, where did I tell you to turn after that? I told you a couple of places I said I'll turn. First Corinthians 3, but I said somewhere before I turned you there.
John
what? John 5. All right, look at John 5 real quick. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Isn't this wonderful? praying in the spirit. That's your leader. When the lead is praying, she said, let's pray in the spirit a little bit. Now, what are we doing? Anybody prays in the spirit, their spirit prays. Now, their mind is unfruitful. Now, God can give you interpretation of your mind, but unless he gives you interpretation, you don't have it. And I'm just saying, when you pray in the spirit, you're praying out of that man that's in there. And that man that's in there is kin to God. And that man that's in there prays straight to God, and then he prays the perfect will of God. Isn't this something? When you start praising God, at first your flesh don't want to praise God. Get up in the morning and start praising him. And you're going to have to fake it till you make it. I mean, you're going to have to hold your hands up and start praising him. Praise your Lord. Now notice, I don't want to praise him because I'm sleeping right now and my body is not moving right. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, O Lord. Praise you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Now pretty soon something starts kicking in. Praise you, Lord. Now here comes revelation because I'm tapping into a well right now. Praise you, Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying he comes in here with songs of praise. What is he doing with that? He's taking you out of the flesh and creating an atmosphere of heaven from whence your spirit came. And your spirit loves that atmosphere. And in that atmosphere, you got to watch out because the glory is in there. Manifesting of miracles comes in that atmosphere. Say amen to that. And when your spirit is awakened like that, now it's easy for me to speak words of revelation and you say, praise God, I got that. See, but before you just came down from downtown, demons hanging on you and everything. Yeah, praise the Lord. But once we praise him, all them demons leave and your mind gets, saturated with praise. Are y'all with me now? Say amen to this. And now we stop looking at the difference in folks and start looking at other folks as the likeness of folks and praise God, sister, my brother, so forth and so on, and see that. So I'm just saying there's a difference between that inner man and that outer man. And that outer man tries to take over. He tries to run your life. And what you got to do is say, nope, we're not doing that. Put them cigarettes down. We ain't smoking that no more. You may as well send them back to the company. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at John chapter 5. We are. Come on, y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, what is walking by faith? It's not walking by your flesh. It's walking by your spirit, which is following the word of God. Jesus is the word. So I'm walking by faith. What is living by faith? It is not quitting your job. It's taking the faith that he gives you and using it at your job. You with me? All right, let's just, amen. Y'all with me now. Y'all see what we're saying. Amen. And don't try to make God do it your way. You remember, oh Lord have mercy, when you remember when Jonah was swallowed up by that big fish, here's the fish, Jonah in the fish's mouth, but Jonah's complaining. But as long as he's complaining, nothing happens. But then Jonah start praising God as if he was delivered. And what did the fish do? Spit him out. So I'm saying, notice, when you're in the situation, don't act like you're in it. Act like you're out. That's faith. And start thanking God. Say amen. Complaining won't get you anywhere. They tried that in the wilderness. But you got to decree things. Call things that what? Be not as though they were. That's the way God did this earth. When God looks at you, when you're acting crazy, what do you think he still sees? Come on. What do you think he still sees? He still sees the righteous. He still sees you without a spot, come on, or a wrinkle. When you're acting crazy and so forth, I know that's not you, but when you, if you ever sink to that level. Amen. But I'm telling you, what we got to do is understand, wait a minute, there's therefore now no condemnation. My spirit was just weak right there, didn't get enough word, and my flesh pulled my spirit over into that. Lord, forgive me for that in the name of Jesus. Help me to walk back right and righteous before you, see, and just keep walking. Are you with me here? And that's why I could come up and I lay hands on the sick, because I believe. See, and a believer is one who operates from that spirit dimension. I'm a believer, and I believe he lives in me. I believe that he and I are one, and they that believe shall lay hands on the sick. Come on. And they shall recover. Now, y'all had me preaching there, and I told you I wasn't going to preach. Well, let me just read you this. Faith brings you into a world of unlimited possibilities. Faith is creative. If it doesn't exist, faith will make it. Faith must be fed on a daily basis. Faith establishes you with companionship with God. God loves to run with folk with faith. Faith is a product of your spirit, not your mind. Faith grows with understanding of the word. Faith is having arrived. And faith is measured by your confession. Say amen to that. So John chapter 5, woo, y'all got me sweating now. Look at what it says. Now, are y'all with me here? God is getting you so, because he's going to count on you now in these last days, because somebody needs to take dominion over what the devil is doing. And you have the ones, you're the ones he's been waiting for. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, or mercy, or grace, having five porches. How many senses do you have? Five. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Now, that's not important. That's impotent. Impotent. Okay, come on. Impotent folk, a blind, halt, and withered. Notice what they were doing. Waiting. Underline waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down in a certain season to a pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man, oh Lord. Do you all realize that this is the verse that I use for water baptism? Whoever steps in will be made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Why? Because I'm using the name of Jesus. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time. In that case, he said unto him, will thou be made what? Whole. And the impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no who? Man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Notice the excuses. Notice the limited thinking. Notice trusting in man. And Jesus said to him, Arise, come on, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Lord have mercy. Well, the next few verses is where the religious people saw him and tried to condemn him. So what am I telling you now? I'm telling you now that this flesh that we have is not us. It's our body. And that faith is designed to give us dominion over it. Glory to God. And that many times, because we deal in the flesh deals in time. And that's understandable because it only has so much time in this earth. But once you deal with faith, you override time. And where you have had to wait, you don't have to wait any longer. Because faith brings time into the now. So, God, you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. If something inside of you rises up, guaranteed you, something outside of you cannot sit down. Because when your spirit gets a hold of truth, your body must obey. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Now let me do a couple of things. One, if God intended for you to go by time, he never would have given you faith. Because faith has no time. Faith is always when? Now. And this is a set time, I said. For whatever's troubling you, whatever's bothering you, is going to have to let you go. Because God is beautifying the church. Say amen to this. So you've been made in the likeness and image of God. I want you to start rising up in that. Stop being so critical of people all the time. Come on now, that pulls you down in the carnal area. And just, if God leads you to, pray for him. And you don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. If you don't have a prayer language, you need to come up here after service and get one. Say amen to that. Now understand, God has natural talents on you. But that's not complete until you get supernatural. God wants to put some super on your natural. So you can teach school like you never taught school before. Come on, that you can do your work and business like you've never done it, whatever it is. Because the spiritual part of you now needs to be activated. If you're here, God's spoken to your heart about being born again. I want to pray with you right now. So if there's somebody and you know that you need to come into this that I'm talking about, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith for me. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right now at the altar. And let me pray for you. Amen. Come on up. Somebody over here.